Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
See how diverse it is. That has everything to do with where we're going today in our message. But you know what I think would be great is maybe to take a moment this week and just kind of Google and just learn something about Black history this month. I think it'd be a great thing, because here's my big heart is, listen, as a white dude, is I just want to understand my brothers and sisters in Christ and get an idea of what they've had to walk through. And here's what's kind of cool is, I can remember I talked about this, Pastor Dottie and I were meeting with our Connect group leaders, and once again, it's a pretty diverse group in there. And it was funny, I remember just being there, we had this moment where we wanted to celebrate our differences, you know? And so it was funny, I was telling like our Filipino brothers and sisters in the group, I was like, listen, here's what I just so value about the Filipino culture and the people. It's like you have this resilient joy and this celebratory spirit that it doesn't matter if a typhoon hits your nation or whatever, you guys are gonna find a way to have a party in it, you know? And it's just amazing. My Latino and Hispanic brothers and sisters, here's what I so profoundly respect is there's this deep sense of family and community that's so deep. My African American brothers and sisters, I let them know, I was like, there is a depth of soul in the African American community that it's something that's like, I want more of that in my life. And then it was funny, we turned it over to the group. And we asked our brothers and sisters, Dottie and I, the white representatives, we're like, and is there anything in our culture that you really like? And I love it. One of the Filipino girls, she's like, well, I've learned to be on time for you guys. So white people, we're punctual. So that's good. That's what we bring to the table. So anyways, but listen, we're in a series. Casket Empty, and it's actually the 49th installment, and so we're going to run this straight through to Easter, this was very helpful to me. Casket Empty is actually an acronym, and it'll give you kind of the timeline throughout your Bible. And so if we can see here, we got C is creation, A, Abraham, S, Sinai, where we get the law, then we have the kings, the exile, the temple, that brings us into the New Testament, where there's expectations, where we're awaiting the promised Messiah. Then we go on and we have, then P, and this is this week, and last week is Pentecost. And so that's 50 days after the crucifixion, unity, or a tri-unity, because there's unity and unbelievable, omnipotent power in that union. And then here's another one. How about this? I brought a coin. If you guys have one, if you ever check this out, you know, on all our American coins, our currency is this. It's the Latin phrase "E pluribus unum." It means out of the many, one. And it is the strength of our nation. Now, I think we could admit that might be in jeopardy right now, but out of the many, one united people, a United States of America. So there is this, and do we have any Star Wars nerds in here? It's okay if we are. Come on, safe place. All right, come on, Sean, I love your courage. And so back in my day, they used to have these Star Wars action figures. Do you guys remember this? Some of you guys have no idea. You can Google it. Now it's like so funny. It's like kind of this old time thing, so they had Star Wars action figures, and as always happens, Christians try and kind of rip off the stuff, and so we're going to have our kind of like B team kind of thing, and so they made action figures of Bible characters, okay, and so you could get your little Abraham and your Moses and your Peter, and it was our way just to get our kids, man, you don't want any of that Star Wars garbage, son, you play with this. And so what inevitably happened is the boys started, Moses was fighting Jesus. And then we had Peter beating up David, right? And they were inevitably going to fight and do this. And so moms around the world were beside themselves writing into this because they said, hey, you didn't give us an enemy to fight. And so what did we do? Fight amongst ourselves. And so if I could just be as real, like it's hilarious. And yet so sad and true that when we don't realize that we have a common enemy and an opponent, that what do? We start fighting amongst ourselves and we disconnect the very power source that God's given us in the power of unity and agreement. And so I want to talk to you about a church. It's Antioch in the book of Acts. The church would move like from Jerusalem being the power source, the hub, and it would move to this place called Antioch. And this church's inception, my heart has been, God, let us be an Antioch church. And I hope you begin to see why in a little bit here, because we're going to read about it. And so let me read, I'm going to read a couple pieces of scripture here. Acts chapter 11, if I can find my notes here somewhere, they're buried, there it is. All right, Acts chapter 11, I'm going to read verses 25 and 26, and then we're going to jump to chapter 13, verse 1. And so it reads like this, verse 25 of Acts chapter 11, it says, "So Barnabas," so he's one of the disciples, "went to Tarsus to look for Saul." Saul would later be known as the Apostle Paul, okay? So he's Paul, the artist formerly known as Saul. There we go. Verse 26, it says, "As when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." 13, verse 1. "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for great grace, Lord. Lord, may a uniting spirit just knit our hearts together as a people. Lord, may we be a sign and a wonder in the earth. And God, as we walk as one with you, we thank you that nothing will be impossible to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what I want us to see this morning. So I just read for you some of the leaders, the elders of the church at Antioch. And I just want you to show you how impossible it is that this church was so powerful in the first century. And so it's the fact that they were together is, in fact, a sign and a wonder. So let's just check this out. So Saul, or Paul and Barnabas, they were kind of the leaders. What happened was revival started breaking out in Antioch, so the apostles sent in Barnabas, and Barnabas immediately goes, "I'm going to need my boy Saul to come with me," and they came, and they began to do great things and build the church at Antioch. But so if you look at this dream team, Saul and Barnabas, if you look at these two don't belong together. Like, these guys are the odd couple of odd couples. And so let me just give you a little bit. So do you know Barnabas, that's not his real name. That his name is actually Joseph. But the disciples liked this guy so much, they called him Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. Like, he was such a good dude. Like, they go, "Bro, we're going to change your name, man. You are like Barney. You are Barnabas, man. You're just always lifting people up." Like, if Barnabas was a dog, he would be a golden retriever, all right? He's just, he just likes everybody, and you're the greatest, and you're wonderful. If Barnabas did the DISC test, we do a personality test here at our church in our growth track, he would definitely be an S, he would be an S. He would be supportive or sensitive, all right? And that's who Barnabas was. Whenever you were with him, He was just this guy who could always see the good in people. Now, can we just flip that? Now we're going to get Saul. So Saul's description of himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1 is this. He says, "Me, I used to be a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man." So that's who he is before he comes to Jesus Christ. Foul-mouthed, passionate to the point of being destructive, and he was a violent man. And so I don't know if you've been around that guy or that girl who's just unbelievably passionate, and yet if they don't agree with something, it's like they can't keep their mouth shut, and they're like, "Bleh!" And they got to say it and get it out no matter what. And so that's that person. And here's what is amazing. The first time we see Saul, he's actually an accomplice to murder. The first martyr of our church is a young man by the name of Stephen, and Saul was an accomplice. In fact, it was distracting for him to throw stones at Stephen in order to murder him, so he held everybody's jacket so he could watch. Like, that's who that guy is, all right? And so, but yet Barnabas and Saul get together. And here's the crazy thing is Barnabas is always believing the best. Did you know when Saul is powerfully converted to Jesus Christ, they'll change his name to Paul because he's like a different guy after this. But do you know what? So skeptical are the apostles that when Saul gets born again because he has this experience with Jesus, they all run. Like, they don't believe him. Only one person believes that he had a legit conversion to Christ. Who was that? The golden retriever, right? So Barnabas, he goes. And so so there's this idea, and I do believe it's true, that they say that sports or athletics and music are these two great spaces that bring people together. And so, like, in the athletics, right, we get the Olympics. It's going to bring the globe together at some point. We can be different people. You might be a Jets or a Giant person in here. And I just know some of you, if you're Patriots, you might not be welcome here in this church, right? And so if you guys recall, they had things like Live Aid and Band Aid, where the world came together over music and a common cause. And so I agree with that. But here's what I just wanted to let you feel something with me. So do you know that Barnabas probably knew the first martyr, Stephen? In fact, they were most likely friends. And so listen, you might be a Jets fan just like me. You kill one of my friends, we ain't boys. We're not hanging out. And I don't care how great the music is. We're probably not going to spend a lot of time together, all right? So how powerful is the gospel that it breaks down every wall and every barrier and unites these two men? Just to shoot you straight, just to be honest, do you know later on, so these Paul and Barnabas would turn the world upside down, plant churches all throughout the Near East. And here's what happens, though. They get into a fight in an argument halfway through. And they split up. But listen, that only furthers my point, that the fact that, man, the enemy, the devil, the best thing he can do, because he can't stop you, nothing will be impossible to you unless he can break you up and disintegrate the church of Jesus Christ. And so we have to be aware of that. Do you guys remember? So we read about Paul and Barnabas, but there's also prophets and teachers at the church in Antioch. So I don't know if you've met any, like, prophets and teachers. They could not be any more on the further extreme on the spectrum. Like, they see the world very, very differently. And so so let me just give you a teacher, for example. We got some people in here with the gift of teaching and actual school teachers. And so here's what teachers are: linear. They're like very black and white, mathematical and methodical. And listen, that is very, very good and very necessary for the church. Teachers, you know, they're kind of buttoned up and put together. They need everything orderly, do they not? They're going to say things like, that's particular. That's peculiar, right? So that's going to be your teacher, and that's a good thing. But it's not always a good thing. Because I'll just say this, I don't know if you realize this or experience life at all. Life is not like math. A plus B does not always equal C. And here's another thing, I don't know if you thought about this, but God's pretty big. God's pretty big. And there's going to be moments where you are not going to be able to explain or have an equation for why X, Y, Z happened. Can we agree? Like, let me just get this. Can you imagine going to the first century? And listen, let's just go to the disciples, and let's just give them your iPhone, and you try and explain this. Well, it's a phone. What's a phone? Well, you can, like, hear voices, and you can talk to people on another continent. What's a continent? Well, you know, there's an internet. Well, what's it? A net? Right? And so there's just going to be, you have no framework to connect and explain for people. How about this? Jesus is going to tell the disciples, you need to go to the ends of the earth. They don't even know what he's talking about. They think the world's flat. So does Patrick over there too, so we'll just rebuke him later, all right? But so you can see they got no framework. So teachers, guess what? You're not going to always be added up because God's big and he's internal, and until we get to the next side of glory, there's just going to be stuff we just don't know, and we got to be okay with that. But how about prophets? Like prophets are, they're seers, they're feelers, right? And so they can be very, very deep, and they can be odd, okay? Listen, if you don't believe me, John the Baptist, he ate bugs or camel's hair, okay? Can we agree that's a little bit odd? The prophet Isaiah ran around Jerusalem for a year naked. So can we agree that's odd? By the way, if you're a prophet in here, don't do that, all right? And see, the reality is, listen, but the power of a prophetic word over and into your life, I just can't even begin to tell you how powerful it is. Like, it can break stuff off of you. It can set you free. It can breathe life into you. But here's the thing is this. If you flow in the gift of prophecy, the Bible's pretty clear. We see dimly, right? We don't always see things. And guess what? Sometimes you're going to get it wrong. You're going to feel wrong. But here's my point, is I want you to get this, is like prophets and teachers, this side of the spectrum, and they usually, oftentimes, they can make war with one another. And you know who wins? Nobody. Oh, excuse me, the devil is going to win in that situation, and we all lose. But if we can get the prophet and the teacher working together, like at Antioch, it says the church exploded and began to grow. And so my wife Susan and I, we went out, we had just like a little 2-day getaway a couple weeks back. And so we went out, we went to this restaurant, and they had live music there. Anybody dig that? Like, I just love that stuff. And we're just sitting there and enjoying this guy. He's on the guitar, and the dude's good. Like, it wasn't painful, and I could recognize some of the tunes. And so we're just enjoying it. And just when I didn't think it could get any cooler, somebody from one of the tables gets up. He walks over to the piano next to him. They look at him, boom, boom. And then suddenly he starts jamming on the piano like this. Guitar guy gets in there. He starts strumming away. And next thing you know, they start singing and jamming. And they're just going. And then the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I was like, this is amazing. We need to take up an offering or something in here right now. Because this is, and so what is it? That is the beauty when we get our differences and bring them together in unison, in harmony. It's amazing. And that's what the prophet and teacher can be like. How about this? Now, I want you to look at the group of elders and leaders at the church in Antioch. So we got Barnabas, right? The golden retriever. Everyone loves Barnabas. We said Simeon, right? And we read this, that he was called Niger, all right? It's Latin. It means black. So there was a strong black man, probably from Africa, leading the church in Antioch. And so I think that's pretty important. You get another guy, Lucius. He's from North Africa, probably modern-day Libya. All right? So there, another people group. Then you get this guy, Manian, and the Bible says something odd. A lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch. So just if you don't know who Herod the Tetrarch is, cuckoo, crazy, and not a friend of Christianity. Just so you understand this, Herod the Tetrarch is the one that beheaded John the Baptist, and he's also the one that had Christ beaten and sent back to Pilate to be crucified. That's Herod, and yet one of his friends was converted to Christ and was so passionately changed, was a leader in the church at Antioch. And then you get Saul, right? Captain Sirius, a zealot. And then good news for my white folk in here, the Greeks and the Anglos started to get saved in the church at Antioch. And so can you get this? Like, there is this hodgepodge of all these different ethnicities and races all together at the church at Antioch, and they don't know what to call them. And so you know what they call them? Christians. Like, they're like, we have no framework for these people getting along, working together, loving one another, sacrificing one another. We got no framework, and so Christian, we're going to call them Christians. Little Christs is actually what it means. And so now I'm going to give you the secret sauce for the early church at Antioch, and I pray it's our secret sauce, all right? And I'm going to move through these quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 is where we'll be. It is Paul's secret sauce. If you're familiar with the book of Ephesians, it's actually about the supremacy of Jesus Christ, but it's also about the unity of God's church. And so let me read this. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. Paul says this, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so let me break this down. See, because there's things that if you're a Christ follower today, that while we may have several differences, and we need to celebrate our differences, there's something that brings us all together as one. And he said this, he says there's one body. Do you know in 1 Corinthians, Paul will say this, he actually refers to us as the body of Christ. And it's this idea that we all are different parts of Christ's body, and we play different roles, right? He says, good Lord, what would happen if we were all the ears? Where would be the seeing? If you were all the nose, where would be the hearing? And so can you imagine, thank God that you look in this room, we're all different. How horrible would that be if we were all the same? So what if we're all a bunch of introverts? Right? What if we're all a bunch of extroverts? Blah, 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 you're just waiting. No, my turn. And then you're just, no one's listening to anybody. And so thank God for our diversity. It's like I tell single people like that they're hoping to be married. I'm like, listen, bro. You don't want to marry yourself. You want to marry someone different than you. Because God does something amazing through our differences. And then I'm going to throw this one in. Because I know this person's in here today. Because some of you, you feel like you just are insignificant. And you don't really have a role in the body of Christ. And I want to bust that right in the mouth this morning. All right? So I heard there's this show called Saturday Night Live. So I myself would never watch that trash, but my wife told me about this one episode, all right? And there's this great classic episode. Will Ferrell is in it, and they're being the rock group Blue Oyster Cult, and they're trying to cut a new gold album, and the record producer was played by Christopher Walken. And so I don't know if you remember the scene. And so they're in the recording studio, and Christopher Walken's like, okay, jam. And they start jamming on the guitar. And then if you're familiar with the song, Don't Fear the Reaper, there's just a faint cowbell in it. Do you guys remember this? And so Will Ferrell's playing the cowbell, and he's like, doot, 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 like this. And then they stop the recording. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They're like, man, this cowbell is bugging me. And then Christopher Walken, the gold record producer, he comes out. He's like, listen, I think I just need more cowbell. Need more cowbell in there. And so the whole thing was about that. And listen, can I just tell you this? Listen, God is saying this morning to you, he would like to hear some more cowbell up in this house. Like, you feel like you're insignificant, you're not plugged in, and you're not doing anything. Man, that's on you. Because you bring something to us that we can't be fully us until you're fully you and get plugged into the body of Christ. And so that's our hope. Here's number two is this. He says we're one body, but we're also one spirit. Can I share with you Acts chapter 10? The apostle Peter and this other guy, Cornelius, he was an Italian guy like Anthony Westby in the back. All right, so he was an Italian guy. He was a Roman centurion. And so what happens is they're hundreds of miles apart, but Peter, he has a vision, this powerful vision from the Lord, and he doesn't know what to do with it. It's about God calling things that used to be unclean for a Jewish man, Now suddenly God is declaring them clean. And then we get Cornelius simultaneously. He has a vision to go send for this guy named Peter. So he sends for them. They both come together and meet at Cornelius' house. Peter doesn't even know what to do. And so he's like, maybe I'll just share the gospel. And so he just starts sharing about Jesus. And before he can finish his sermon, Holy Spirit falls down from heaven. And the whole household starts speaking in tongues, and they all get born again. And Peter's like, what in the world just happened? And he's like, he didn't even know what to do. He's like, I guess we should just baptize them. And so they started baptizing these Gentile believers, which was scandalous in the first century. In fact, it was so outrageous that they had Jerusalem, they called a council. They're like, what, Gentiles? And so they actually had a meeting to see if God was allowed to do that. Do you believe that? Like, I don't know if God's allowed it. And Peter's big point, he already did it. And so now they guess, Gentiles get to be Christians too. And so that's the big idea. There's one spirit. So if you're black, white, brown, yellow, and whatever else, the spectrum of colors we have in this place, there's something that unites us. And that's the Spirit of Christ inside of us. He says, number three, we have one hope. And so there's this consistent pattern throughout the New Testament. Whenever the gospel's preached and proclaimed, there's this consistent response. What must I do to be saved? And so if that's you this morning after we preach, that's a good thing to feel. And then if you do feel that, I would like to pray with you after service, okay? But they pray that, and Jesus is our... The disciples will say this: you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I want to tell you guys. I have one hope. Because I'll just be truthful with you, and if you're new to church, this may be weird for you. I can't be good enough for God. I just can't. Like, if you were to see, like, so for example, like, so I have some barriers in my life because I'm a pastor. If you do certain things, you ain't gonna lose your job. I am, all right? So I have certain constraints on my life, but I'll tell you this, those constraints really don't mean anything, because if you were to see some of the things that I think sometimes, you would not let me be your pastor. If you knew some of the stuff that was in my heart at moments, like I had a moment at Costco the other day. Some dude, this line was ungodly to get out of Costco. And some dude went trucking up in front of everybody. I was like, oh, the gloves are off. I'm grabbing this fool, right? And I'm like, oh, great, I'm a pastor, you know, and way to go. And so, listen, we have one hope, and that is in the fact that Jesus Christ would save sinful humanity like you and me. Listen, if you don't think you're that bad, can I just put an end to that? Like, I'll tell you this. So we had a children's ministry thing we did a couple years ago. We don't call it Halloween party. We call it Fall Festival, okay? And so we had this thing, and I remember we wanted people that didn't know Christ to come, so we played a mixture of Christian music and then just kind of secular music. And so it was on my iPod. And so I'm thinking, this is amazing. This is going on great. And then I'm familiar with my song list. And then I realized this one song, as all these little kids are around playing, there was this Gavin DeGraw song, and he says a curse word in it. And I'm like, I'm about like 100 meters away from my playlist, and I'm like, that part's coming. And I just remember running, diving on that thing, and trying to get it shut down. See, but for me, I don't usually notice that stuff. It was like it was a C-team curse word. But guess what? When you're around innocence, it changes. And I want to tell you this. When you're around the purity of a holy and perfect God, even your best works are going to seem filthy. So we all have one hope, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another one. We have one Lord. And so this one will be fun with me. I promise you we're going to talk about this a lot more in the coming year. So can we agree our nation has never been more politically divided and a mess and created, like, partisan everything. The United States of America, please, man. We are the divided states of America right now. But during all this political cycle, I'm going to keep hitting this. I want to remind you of something. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our dude won 2,000 years ago. Our Lord won. He beat death, hell, and the grave, and he's seated on the throne forever, bar none. And that's my guy. That is my guy. And so, listen, don't mishear me. Like, hey, be involved. Vote your conscience. Do that stuff. But there's something that overarches all of that, that despite our partisan politics, that unites us, and that's this, that we have one Lord, Jesus Christ. And so our allegiance is to him. Is that okay? Did I get are we all right, guys? All right, good. Yeah, it's three of you. All right, we'll get that, right? So here we go. Number five is this, we have one faith. One faith. And here's what I want to say. We have one faith, but how many know that we're all at different stages of that faith? Like, all of us are in process, and we're going to be at different points on that process. And for the record, we never arrive until glory. We're always in process. And so here's what I just so need us to do, to realize that our brothers and sisters, we're all at different places in that process. And so, I don't know if you remember, but at the start of Ephesians 4, Paul was pretty clear. He says how we handle ourselves, that our posture is we're humble and we're gentle. That we don't use truth and the word of God as a club to beat the mess out of people. Now, don't get me wrong. We do. We spank sometimes. Sometimes you need a good spanky with the word of God. But we don't use it as a club to discourage and lead people into despair. I love this. It says to be patient. Did you catch this? Bearing with one another in love. You know what that tells me? There's going to be some folk that get on our nerves. And Paul's appeal is you need to bear with those people. So I'll share one part. Like there is a they're not in this church, just so you know. But if they wanted to, I would embrace them wholeheartedly. But every time I met these people, they would offend me. Like, without fail, it became a joke in my family. Every time we'd meet them, I'd tell my wife, Susan, I'm like, well, babe, here we go. I wonder how it's going to come this time. And so I remember we got into this gathering. We were with them. And I was like, I made it. They did not offend me the whole time. God's honest truth, I'm walking to my car, and the guy flags me down. Pastor! Pastor! I'm like, oh, no, here it comes. Sure enough, kajoom, he gives it to me. You know, like that. And so, listen, that's going to happen. So we need to bear with one another in love. And then I love this, eager to maintain unity. So if you pay attention to our culture today, everyone is eager to be offended. Unbelievably eager. I'm just waiting for you to say the wrong thing that I can take offense at that thing. And we need to be otherworldly. We need to eager to go, man, this person gets on my nerves, they bug me, but I'm looking for this area to agree with them and find what's good, something that can bring us together and not separate us and bring us apart. And then here's another one, number six. He says there's one baptism, one baptism. And this part was so much fun for me. Because the waters of baptism, it's in that place. Like, I get a front row seat to see how God takes such diverse people. And as you go into the water, do you know what you're baptized into? The body of Christ. And so let me just give you a few examples. So for years, I was based out of Manhattan. You know, the Hopkins were there with me, the Rodriguez's. And so we were based out of Manhattan. And how many know there's a diverse group in Manhattan? And so we would do water baptisms. And can I tell you about some of the people that were in that baptismal? So I baptized a young girl who was part of a vampire cult. Tattoos all over, more piercings. It was distracting. I didn't know where to look when I was talking to the girl. Radically changed by Jesus Christ. And I got to baptize her. And in that moment, she became a sister to me. How about this? In that same baptismal, I baptized an 80-year-old Russian man. His name escapes me. But listen, he was one of these 80-year-olds, but don't think he was like, he was going to show me that he's a man's man still. So he did dips in the baptismal before he went down. He's like, yes, now. And we baptized him in the water of baptism. That same baptism, so get this, vampire girl, 80-year-old Russian man, and then finally, the most diminutive Chinese exchange student to Juilliard. She played the violin there, spoke very broken English, and I got to baptize her in the waters of baptism. Now, can you tell me, where on earth do those three people ever get along and connect other than the body of Jesus Christ? There's one baptism, and we're all baptized into them. Listen, if you have not been water baptized, this is my time where I'm guilting you into this, okay? In the first century, you know what they did is the Didache was kind of like a spiritual foundations book for that the disciples would use. And they said this in water baptism, that they would be usually do baptism in a river. And so the church would be on one side, all dressed in white garments, and then they would baptize you in the river, the Jordan, and then you would cross over to the other side where the church would be waiting for you, dressed in white, and they would give you a white garment that you would put on, and suddenly you are received into the family of Almighty God. And that's what takes place in the waters of baptism. And then number 7, I'm going to ask Kim to come on up here, and we're going to close. Can we do this? Can we stand? And get up here and play something nice. So here's how I'd like to finish. It was funny, I was reading this week. Did you know that human DNA, that we're 99.9% like similar? 99.9. Here's something else that was fascinating to me. Did you know that there's more discrepancy within races than there is outside of races? Isn't that crazy? So let me talk about this. We have one father. So our missions team, let me tell you, like, God does cool things on the mission field. And I had a chance, I went on a mission field, a missions trip to Riga, Latvia, Eastern Europe. So we went there. I was the hockey guy, so that gives you some currency over there. So I'll be the hockey guy. And we had a contact person there. His name was Einar. Didn't really know Einar or anything like that. And so I meet Einar, and turns out that Einar is a ex-convict. He's like all tatted up, pierced up, big dude, big guy, set guy. And listen, I mean this as politely as possible. Just smelled a little bit funny. Are we okay? You know, like, smelled like out of prison. And it was amazing. Like we met this guy. I met this guy, and I'm like, this guy's so awkward. And you know what began to happen? As we had one mission, we took communion together. And then I got to meet his family. We got to pray. And then we got to minister out in Latvia. We saw people come to Jesus Christ. And here's the amazing thing. So this guy that lives halfway around the world, now when I see this guy, I realize that he's my brother. Because we have one father, our spiritual father, the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.